Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Happy 4th of July to everyone. Great to be with you again here for my fourth Sunday. I did last week at Forest Park Bible Church in Mobile, but it's good to be back in Fairhope. Just had an excellent month of ministry at Southern Grace Youth Camp, as well as here, Grace Bible Church Fairhope, and then Forest Park Bible Church in Mobile. So it's been a great between those three ministries just to see the South and to see Alabama and to see and meet some incredible believers here in this part of the country. So something I was always taught growing up was freedom isn't free. I come from a long family of military veterans. Father served in Desert Storm, brother served in Coast Guard. One grandfather served in World War II, the other Korea, had cousins and uncles that served in a variety of different branches. So military service is something that I grew up around. And a fact that I learned as a young man that really, really impacted me was the average age of a man who lost his life during the Vietnam War. And that average age was 21 years old. And all throughout my childhood and early teen years, I always thought of that number, 21. I'm close to 21, and now I'm 22, almost 23. It's like, wow, that was already 2 years ago. And to think that the average age was 21 years old for those who lost their life in that war. It was just incredible. Our freedom truly isn't free. Our freedom as Americans is what I'm talking about. Our freedom as Americans in this country isn't free because of the men and women who have gone before us and lost their life in this country. So I'd like that to be definitely a thought in the back of your head moving forward with today with all the 4th of July festivities and celebrate our country, but remember the price of freedom. That's not free. So I wanted to mention that there. And I think it kind of goes along with a message today about our freedom in Christ. Our freedom in Christ isn't free as well. We needed the purchase, the blood that was sacrificed with Jesus on the cross. And I think us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to grasp our understanding of what it means to be free in Christ. We know what it means to be free as Americans. We celebrate that today. We celebrate that all across our country today. But what does it really mean to be free in the Lord Jesus Christ? And our main passage today is going to be found in Galatians chapter 5. We won't have time to, of course, go through every single verse of Galatians chapter 5. But I think Galatians 5, this whole chapter, really alludes to what it means to be free in Christ. And the Holy Spirit is a vital part of Galatians 5. It's the Spirit in Galatians 5 that transforms our lives and gives us freedom to live out the life that God has called us to live. So let's do that right now. Let's take our Bibles and turn there to Galatians chapter 5. And we'll start with just the simplicity of verse 1. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Apostle Paul writes, "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery." So Christ has given us this freedom, as Jesus himself even alludes to this. He says in the Gospel of John, he says, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." He says that in John chapter 8. So being free in Christ is a part of what makes this age of grace so unique, as our freedom is the outwork expression of what Christ has done. And it's the God's grace that's transforming us in this life of being free in Christ. And it's God's grace transforming us into a new creation. So I think the question that most Christians or believers, when they hear about our freedom in Christ, have to ask is, how do we use that freedom? How can we use being free in Christ to impact the kingdom of God? How can we use that freedom to live as free people, as child of God, like we just sung about here? So I think if we go down a couple of verses to Galatians 5:13, it says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly through love." So there's a lot of things right there to do. We're to use our freedom not for the flesh, but we're to use our freedom in the Spirit to serve one another through love. And then the first thing that this passage tells us, that our freedom is something that God has called us to live out. God himself has called us to use this freedom. And that way of indulging, like he's talking about here, that we're not supposed to use it, is to use that sinfulness, our sinful nature. We're not to use our freedom to indulge the flesh. but to serve one another through love. And our freedom should not be used as an opportunity for the flesh. But Paul lays out examples, too, of when these sinful desires, what these sinful desires are. When we live by the flesh, these sinful desires are this. You can follow along there. That's in Galatians 5:19. So what the flesh, the acts of the flesh are this, that sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, disorder, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, enviness, drunkenness, orgies, and this alike. So the similar type of things, definitely more in the indulgence type of sins, but similar to what we talked about in Sunday school today with Richard, sins of the flesh, sins that we have as human beings laid out, for example, things that we're all guilty of, but we don't let our identity be rooted in those things. We don't walk in accordance of these things. That is what it means to be free in Christ, is to not live as someone who indulges the flesh, which is what those things are laid out there in Galatians 5:19. So when we are in Christ, we are people who are led by the Holy Spirit. Our freedom should transform us to help us overcome those things laid out in verses 19 through 21. To be burdened by attaching yourself to these fleshly desires is to be burdened of a yoke of slavery, which Paul talks about in Galatians 5:1. He says, do not be burdened in the yoke of slavery. Burden of the yoke of slavery is what it means to let those things be a part of us, to indulge in those things, let those things be our identity. We're to not be, let those things be our identity, but instead we're to be living by and through the Spirit of God. So keep your fingers on Galatians chapter 5, but I believe our freedom in Christ is clearly written out in another one of Paul's letters, which we looked at actually on Wednesday night in Galatians chapter 6. So turn your Bibles there for a moment. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, the Apostle Paul writes, what shall we say then? Shall we keep sinning so that grace may abound? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So this Galatians 5 passage of freedom in Christ and this Romans 6 passage of being raised to life through Christ, they have so many similar truths laid out of what we should do and what we should not do in our freedom in Christ. And Paul wants our freedom as believers to be used away from sin and to not practice sin, which was the old way in which we lived. So being free is to not live in the old way, but to be lived in the new way. And we now live in the new way because of the Spirit of God transforming us and redeeming us into a relationship with the Lord Jesus. As mentioned above, we do this by serving one another through Christ Jesus, as verse 13 of Galatians 5 talks about. I think it's a good start to practice humility in our service with one another, not regarding ourselves more highly than we ought to. I think too often, I think our pride can blur our freedom to serve one another as we're blind to our sinfulness and even maybe our narcissism. One of my favorite parts about ministry so far in my 1 year of doing ministry is the visitations. Visitations in elderly people's homes or in the hospital, because a lot of times I get more out of that than maybe they do. I get more out of understanding where other people come from in their lifetime, but also in a delicate moment of care, putting myself in their shoes of being with them in a difficult moment. And I think sometimes just being with someone during a difficult moment does more to them than saying the right words or doing the right actions or giving them the right gift. Sometimes just being with someone in a time of need can make all the difference in the world. And serving one another through love, I think, is a virtue that God gives us through the Spirit that we need to practice more, I think, in the Christian life. So I want to challenge us as a church to serve one another through love and to know that we don't have to get something out of it. Or we don't have to worry about saying the right things or doing the right things, but instead being with someone in a time of need, serving one another through love is a very forgotten part of the Spirit, I think, a gift of the Spirit that God gives us. And the way that we use this freedom to serve one another may look different based on the needs that we can provide. It might not look like a visitation. It might be spending time with someone after church, a conversation, a fellowship. So it's not going to all look the same just because we're a part of the body of Christ. But when we're seeking the Spirit of God and letting that transform our thoughts and our actions, we have the freedom to put the needs of others before ourselves. We have that opportunity to lay down our selfish pride and to look at one another. I think for the entire law, it talks about this later in Galatians. It says, for the entire law is fulfilled by keeping one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law can be fulfilled through that one verse. I think another theme that Paul stresses so much in Galatians 5 is the idea that we as believers who are free in Christ are not under the law anymore. We're not under the law in this time of grace. And the law, or the Mosaic law, was the Ten Commandments we learn about in the Old Testament. And they were given to Moses in Exodus chapter 20. The law was how the Jewish people were to serve God. The law was how the Jewish people were able to show God they were committed and devoted to him, but also to know that in themselves it was impossible to fulfill the law. It was impossible to keep all Ten Commandments perfectly. And I think to better understand the law, we have to understand that a lot of Jewish people were basically slaves to how they obeyed the law. Now, if I look at Galatians 5:1, still in that passage, he says, do not be burdened by a yoke of slavery. So a wooden yoke was something often put on a group of ox during Paul's time. And it was a way of controlling them, of how they walked. And a sheep who had a wooden yoke on them, they couldn't control for themselves which way they walked or turned. It was the master or the farmer who had control of the yoke. So they were being under a yoke was to have no control of your own choices, but to be burdened to whatever the yoke is telling you or whatever your master is telling you to do. So our freedom in Christ and being apart from the law, so not living by the law anymore, we can better understand it if we look at Galatians chapter 4. So if we just turn the page back to Galatians chapter 4, we can see some truths here. Just verses 28 through 31. So just verses 28 through 31 of Galatians chapter 4, Paul writes this. He says, now you brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. But just at that time, he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit. So also it is now. But what does Scripture say? Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. So, brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman. So there's some context background. I think it's beautiful when we see the Old Testament stories having something to do with the New Testament. When we look at the New Testament, we can see stories of the Old Testament and how they all play together. The whole Scripture narrative is God-breathed. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. So some history and background of what Paul is talking about is, of course, Isaac was the miracle son of Abraham's wife, Sarah. And all the promises were fulfilled through Isaac. He was the miracle child. Everything was through Isaac, all the promises and this and that. But Abraham had another son through fornication with a slave woman named Hagar, and that was the child Ishmael. And Abraham cast out Hagar and Ishmael out of the promised land and out of the family line and out of the blessings and out of the inheritance that was promised through Isaac and not Ishmael. So Paul is saying in this passage that the freedom will prevail over slavery, but also that Christians should become through a promise of God's grace that will lead to freedom in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Isaac came into the world as a promise to Abraham, and we as believers come into the faith because of God's grace through the promise of the death and resurrection of Christ. So the central point in Isaac's birth is that his birth depended on God entirely. For it was the work of God, not the work of Abraham or Sarah. So on the other hand, Ishmael's birth was strictly because of two humans. God's holiness and presence was not in the birth of Ishmael, but instead it was the gift of Isaac. So what we can take and apply this to our freedom in Christ, we as believers should not follow legalism or the law or the works or to be slaves of this, but instead we should use God's grace and use God's grace to transform us and to become people who rely on Christ alone and rely on the free gifts he gives us and not on legalism or being slaves to the law. Grace-oriented people are people who trust in Christ alone and live their lives based on that truth. So people who are free live their life off of the truth that Christ died for us and that we are free people. They are free in our relationship with God because of what Christ accomplished on the cross. So what Christ did on the cross gives us this freedom to walk by the Spirit. Without Christ's sacrifice, we don't have that ability to walk through the Spirit. And going back to Galatians 5, in verse 3 and 4, Paul writes, "Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace." So that something that was keeping the Galatian people from living a life of freedom was that they were continually looking for justification, which is being made right in the sight of God. They were continually looking, how can we be made right more and more in God's eyes? What can we do on our own of abiding in the law that can make us pleased and holy in God's sight? But more specifically, Paul uses that idea of circumcision as a physical circumcision among males, which was unique to Jewish men, to mark themselves as Jews and to symbolize their covenant and devotion to God. But Paul is telling us that those things don't matter. It doesn't matter the works you do to God to make yourself just in his sight. But it's God's grace and the freedom that he has given us and to live out. That's what we should be worried about. We should not be worried about how to become more just, because Christ has already made us just through the death and resurrection of Christ, through our faith in that. And it's actually quite interesting that not only do these things not matter if we solely practice the things of the law, but we're actually moving further away from Christ and the free gift of grace that he gives us. We're moving, the more we work for our salvation, the more we move away from God's grace and the freedom that we have in him. And the truth that Paul is wanting to say is that the gift is the purchased gift of Christ's blood on the cross. That's the gift that we need to be worried about. That's the gift that matters. It's not the gift of circumcision or the gift of the law. It's the gift of Christ. So that, because the gift of Christ allows us to not live as slaves, but to live as those who have been set free. We use our freedom to glorify Christ through walking in the Spirit, not our flesh, to abide in the law. And the new life of freedom can be a hard one to understand, and especially in the world we live in today. And standing firm in our marching orders is laid out in that Galatians passage. Something that can be something that can hinder ourselves from living a life of freedom is letting condemnation hinder our faith and not being perfect at living out the Christian faith. A lot of times we want to strive for perfection, but instead, God just wants obedience and a humble heart to surrender to him. And that condemnation can sometimes rule us or destroy us and to make us not want to live as free men and women anymore, but to go back to the slavery of sin and the slavery of the law. So another passage we talked about on Wednesday night, but I think it's appropriate for this, is Romans chapter 8. So still keep your finger on Galatians 5, but let's look at Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 8. Another verse that should look familiar to us who were here on Wednesday. But Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 8. Paul writes to the church of Rome here. He says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live according with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who live on the realm of the flesh cannot please God. So there's a lot of rich material laid out in this Romans 8 passage that would probably take a whole other sermon to go through. But we can see truths that are in this passage that are also in the Galatians 5 passage concerning our freedom that is found in Christ. Both of these passages teach truth that the Spirit of God has set us free from the law of sin and death. And because of that, we should be free from the thoughts of not feeling good enough, or free from the mindset that we have to work to please God. They also show us that the law was powerless to save us from our sin, as the law was meant to recognize that we're sinners, and we can't completely obey the law perfectly on our own. Because of this, we as believers live through the Spirit and not of the law, and that's what makes us free. Because we have a sinful nature that wants to be opposite and to be contrary to God and the Holy Spirit, it can be confusing to what a fruitful life and a life of the Spirit should look like, and what it should mean to glorify the Spirit and to live as people who are in step of the Spirit. And one example that Paul gives out later in Galatians 5 is the fruit of the Spirit. And a few summers ago when I was in college, I worked at a grocery store in the produce department, and every morning when I got there, the job was to separate all the good fruits and the bad fruits when we look at, you know, the lettuce and the oranges and the apples, of what is good fruit that should be laid out for customers to see and to buy, but what's also bad fruit that definitely customers don't want anything to do with and that we have to throw away. So good fruit and bad fruit. We've all seen good fruit before. We've all seen nasty, rotten fruit before. And the fruits of the Spirit are laid out in Galatians chapter 5, and Paul gives a great job of laying out what it means to live by the Spirit, and his example is through the fruit of the Spirit, and that's found in Galatians chapter 5, 22. So we're still in Galatians 5, verse 22. He says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When we let the Spirit control our lives and not the law or our own flesh, these are the results. So when we live as free people by the Spirit, the results are these things right here. So it's love first, love. That love creates unity. To express love to one another is to express the very character of who God is. The Apostle John even writes, God is love. So joy, the next fruit of the Spirit, is which we can look at no matter what circumstance that we're in life, to know that happiness has little correlation with joy, because joy sets our hearts not on the things of the world, but on Christ and the Spirit of God and our salvation that has set us free. So joy is the understanding that no matter what life throws at us, our happiness should not be found in those things, but our happiness should be found in the eternal promises of Christ. And the next fruit is peace. And peace is that we should possess it with God, because it shows us how we should live with one another. If we're living a life through the Spirit, and the Spirit of God is inside of us, we already have that peace of God, because that peace of God is what reconciles us back to God. So when we have peace and we're living a life controlled by peace, we know where our salvation lies. It's because of the death and resurrection of Christ that's reconciled with him. Our salvation is because of Christ, and the peace that he gives us afterwards should lead us into a life of peacefulness. Imagine if so many churches today lived a life of peace, of how how different that would look in some of the turmoil and debating and confusion and chaos and division that we have so much even in the church today. And the next one is patience, and that's being patient with everyone that we come in contact with, because God has showed patience with us time and time again in our sinfulness in the flesh. Another one, kindness. Kindness is showing compassionate towards others, being kind, showing that we care about other people and not just ourselves. And goodness, another fruit, is our positive attitude toward the person that we can show kinds of actness to. So our positiveness can be what is goodness, being good and tenderhearted in our heart. And faithfulness will be evident in the life of anyone who walks by the Spirit, because our faithfulness will show our commitment and our loyalty to who God is. And the last one, self-control, is being moderate in everything that we do and understanding that we don't have to indulge, or to spend everything and put all our eggs in one bucket, but be self-controlled in the choices we make in our everyday life. So living our lives based off of the fruit of the Spirit may look challenging or even impossible at some times, but remember, the fruit of the Spirit is contrary to the flesh, which is what verse 17 says of Galatians 5. The two are in a constant tug of war with one another. Just because we have freedom doesn't mean we're to live our lives any way we want to. We're still called to repent of our sins and to be willing to change the way we are living. So it's this constant tug of war of the fruit of the Spirit and the desires of the flesh that we mentioned earlier. It's this inner battle between the human heart of a saved person who has the Holy Spirit dwelling within them. We know how we're supposed to walk. We know the marching orders that are laid out in Scripture. But there's always that tug of war of our sinful flesh and our old self that's been crucified. So we have to understand that in our freedom, of that tug of war that's going to be with us. And if we as believers are willing to walk in step of the Spirit as free men and women who are in Christ, we will not be conceited in our thoughts and our actions, but instead our sinful flesh will be transformed to a life that reflects the virtues of the Spirit. So our life will be transformed when we come to Christ to want to live a life desired through the Spirit. Instead of giving a list to follow in Galatians 5, Paul uses the principles and allows us to apply the fruit of the Spirit to our life and the choices that we make. The question that some of you may be asking is, how can we love in a world of hate? Or how can we be peacemakers when there's so much unrest in our world today? And I think the answer to this is also found in Galatians 5 with our freedom, as Paul doesn't want our flesh to be a means of how we live our lives, even if our flesh wants to be good. But instead, Paul is encouraging us to yield, surrender to the Holy Spirit in order to develop ourselves to live out the application of the fruit of the Spirit. So he wants us to surrender and let the Spirit do its work in our lives. It's not the law where it's a list of do this good. We talked on Wednesday night, do not touch the wet paint, right? We talked about that. So it's not just a list of do this good. It's a list of these are the results of what your life will look like when you let the Holy Spirit transform you and let your freedom be lived of the virtues that Paul has given out. So I've mentioned it a couple times already, but all of this freedom and the life that we have in the Spirit is made possible through one thing, and that's the cross. That's the death and resurrection of Christ. Paul mentions the cross in Galatians 5 when he says, brothers and sisters, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I being persecuted still? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. And later in verse 24, Paul alludes to the crucifixion as he writes, those who belong to Christ Jesus have been crucified with the flesh and its passions and desires. So the cross is what unites God back to us, mankind. Because of the cross, when the believer is walking in step of the Spirit and producing fruit, there is no room for envy, there's no room for hate. And those types of virtues, envy, hate, jealousy, those were things that the Galatian church was facing at the time. So that's why Paul is writing these things of, hey, you have been crucified with Christ. Hey, your life is no longer your own. Don't live like this. He even calls them foolish little Galatians, right? They're foolish because they're still marching in the flesh. But no, the cross has united us back to God. We have a new relationship with Christ, and we can use our freedom in Christ to live through the Spirit. We don't have to worry about keeping the law anymore or satisfying the desires of the flesh, but we have this new ability to walk and march in the Spirit of God. You personally have been called to freedom, and that still means loving God. That still means loving others. As I just mentioned, it's the cross that reconciles us back to God. Mankind is separated by God because of our sin, and Christ, being the Son of God in his very nature, obeyed the calling of God completely, as well as the law perfectly. So Christ died the painful death, and in a humiliating death, and that was the worst form of execution that the Romans could do. But the story doesn't end there, of course. We know 3 days later, Christ rose from the dead, conquering sin, conquering evil, conquering death, conquering fulfilling the law, conquering all these different things that enslave us so much. And we know that our life now as free people is not the life of our own, but it's the Spirit of God transforming us. We have a new way of living because of what Christ did on the cross. Our freedom causes us and changes us to live a life that abides in the Spirit and not a life of the flesh. So I want us to remind ourselves that our freedom in Christ, it's still not free. It still came from the cross. It still came from the worst form of execution. Our freedom in Christ is not free, but it allows us to walk as people, not in slaves anymore. We know that's a part of our history, even as Americans. But instead, we're now free. We as Jew and Gentiles, white, black, no matter what our color is, we are free as Americans, but we're free as in Christ as well. And we can use that freedom to walk in order of the Spirit. Walk, use the freedom in Christ we have to allow us to have the fruits of the Spirit be our virtues and not the cravings and desires of our flesh. I hope this sermon has pointed us in the direction of the cross of Christ, but also to the direction of our identity in him, as no longer being slaves to fear, no longer being slaves to sin and death. We're not through the promise of slavery, but we're now in this inheritance that has been kept in heaven for us, that allows us to live as free men and women through the person of Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit that dwells in all of us believers who have made that commitment today in our lives. So we thank you, Father, for that. Let us pray. Father, we're so thankful for our new identity, our new freedom that is found in you, Jesus. And I pray that each of us, as we celebrate the freedom of our country that we have, let us also remember our freedom in you. And we know freedom is not free. Freedom is not free for men and women who have lost their lives in battle and in wartime, but also our freedom in Christ is not free, as Christ paid the ultimate sacrifice for our disobedience, Father, by his death on the cross. And let that be a reminder, a motivating factor in our lives, that our life is not our own anymore. We don't live for ourselves. I don't live for Troy anymore. I live for you, Father, and I live for the Spirit of God that is dwelling inside of me. I pray that each of us do not become burdened by the yoke of slavery that entangles us through keeping the law, and how exhausting it is to try to always justify ourselves in your sight, but instead recognize that we're already justified, we're already clean, we're already made new through the person of Jesus Christ. Again, we can't thank you enough for your provision in our life and who we are in you. Praise all your Son's holy name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Troy. Let's stand together as we close the service.